Hoboken Beach Church, and delighted you're here. As we come, we'd like to say welcome home. This is your home away from home, or this is your home. It is welcome home into our family here at Hoboken Beach Church. This is a no judgment zone. This is a place of grace, and you know, it's okay not to be okay. And it's a place where, man, we just long for God to awaken hearts to Jesus. And that's what God does in worship. He comes to us. He ministers us. He speaks to us. So I encourage you to expect and seek him, look for him, because he is here and he's longing to connect to you wherever you're at and with his grace and his love. In your worship folder, there's a connection card. It's a white little connection card. We'd love to be able to connect with you and just kind of recognize your presence with us. We won't mass market you. We won't sell your addresses and anything. And we won't go stalk you unless you give us a reason. No, I'm just kidding. But we'd love to just be able to recognize your presence here. Love to hear where you're from and how we can help in your journey, your spiritual journey. That's what we're here for. Whether you are here part-time or full-time, well, our goal is just to help you in your walk and to grow closer to him. We're in a series in Genesis called Faith and Family, and it's a series. Usually we take a book of the Bible, and I think it was like in August, and I was really debating what book of the Bible, and in fact, I was really leaning towards another book, and then I just felt like this urge to go to Genesis, and I just want to, I'll just be real honest how spiritual I am at sometimes. I looked at the children's book of what lessons they picked, and I thought, you know what, those are good lessons, and I'm like, because we can't do the whole book in this amount of time, like, what lessons? So I looked at a couple children's books, because our children are going to learn with us. So I was like, okay, what are like maybe some core stories, maybe some stories we haven't heard? And so that kind of formulated the series. Little did I know how much this series timing was in this last month. I don't know if you noticed, like, the Word of God has been perfect. It's always perfect, but it has been, like, right where you need it. I mean, at the forefront of what's going on. And today's one of those days. Because God's been put on our heart to have a major season of prayer. And we're talking about prayer. And we have a big thing coming up about prayer. So with that, I invite us to rise. And as we begin our worship together, we're going to profess our faith according to the petition that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as is written in heaven, as it is in heaven. And so what does that really mean? What is that when we say that in the Lord's Prayer, what are we praying? And I really think what this petition really hits at the very core of what we're talking about today, but also just a reminder of what prayer is about. So when we say, Thy will be done on earth as is in heaven, what does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us in his firm in his word and faith until we die. This is his good and gracious will. Amen. So, Lord, may it be your will among us. May your will be accomplished in us, that you keep us, that you strengthen us, you awaken our hearts to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
How great the chasm been laid between us, how high the mountains I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then yeah. the God of ages, set down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven, the King of kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain, there's salvation in your name. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared a grave. There's no claim on me.
Amen, right? Sing that again.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared a grave is no claim on me. Oh, Jesus knows is my victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain, there's salvation in your name, Jesus.
Christy, you may be seated, and I invite the kiddos to come down for a children's sermon. Not really a sermon. We'll get that later. How are you guys? You're looking good. You feel good? Yeah? Okay. I got a question for you. When I say the word trust, what does that mean to you? Yeah. Yeah. So when you say you're trusting someone, do you know what that means? Can you describe it? Yeah. Well, you trust the Lord too. That's what we want to do. Trusting means that I accept what someone says to me or what they want to do, right? So if mom says, this won't hurt, you trust that, right? Moms, are you listening? So we don't, when we trust someone, we're believing what they say. Yeah. Well, in our story today, Abraham, who we've been talking about, Abraham needs to find a wife for his son. Now, in Abraham's time, marriages were arranged. You know what that means? That means mom and dad would pick your husband. That sound like a good idea to you? No, that's not how we do it here, right? It's different. We date people, we get to know people, and we still trust God to send us our life mate, don't we? And that's what makes marriage good, is when God's in the center of it. So Abraham has to pick a daughter-in-law for his son Isaac, and he sends his servant to find her because he trusts that God already has picked her out. He's already picked her. God's already picked her, and she just needs to be found. So he doesn't go do it like his tradition would say, but instead, he trusts his servant to do it. And the servant wants to trust God to do it. So what do? We want to trust God. How do we tell God we trust him? Church is good. Can you talk to the Lord? What's that? Is that prayer? Yeah. And so we can tell the Lord, we trust you. That's what Abraham's servant said. He said, I trust you to send me the wife. Now, here's what he did that's interesting. He asked the Lord, if I see the woman and I ask her for a drink of water, if she'll give me a drink and if she'll water the camels voluntarily, I'll know that's her. And you know what Rebecca did? She came out to water, came out to the well, and she loaded her water jug. Because remember, in those days, they had to carry the water in a big jug and take it home. So she loaded her jug, and he asked her, could I have a drink of water? And she said, yes. And I'll water your camels too. Well, isn't that exactly what he asked God? If she'll do those two things, I'll know it's the right woman. And sure enough, that's what she did. So because Abraham trusted God and his servant trusted God, they got the right answer. And Isaac got the right wife. As you go through life and get older and older, you will learn to trust God with more and more. And that's the secret to our life being successful and happy, is trusting what God says. Good? Let's pray. Father, thanks. Thanks for the promise that you will show us how to live. And we are grateful that we can always trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Off you go, Children's Church, and Miss Cindy is back there today to escort you. Very good.
let's all stand. We have one more song here. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my foreman in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in it.
Thank you, Christy. You may be seated. This morning we continue on our Faith and Family series, continue to look at Abraham and what we can learn from his life. And we're watching his faith grow, and we're watching his new relationship with the Heavenly Father grow as well. And he is wanting desperately to build his family on faith. He's trusting God. He's wanting to teach how to trust God. He's wanting to be an example of it. And God is walking him through it by proving himself to Abraham day after day after day. And today, we find, as you heard me tell the kiddos, that Abraham is trusting God to deliver a wife for Isaac. Now, this is a really big, big deal. It's a big deal because God has promised Abraham a great nation will be coming from him. He will be the father of this nation that numbers like the sand on the sea. We know a little bit about sand. I bring about a pound a week home, so we know a little bit about that. But he's been promised to have a nation come from his offspring. And so picking a wife for his son is a big deal. Right, Mom? Yeah. All the moms amen quietly under their breath. They didn't want to say it out loud. Because to many moms, there's never a wife good enough for her little baby. And I get that. But God has someone in mind. He has a plan for Isaac. He has a plan for Abraham. He has a plan for all of Israel. And it begins here, and Abraham is wisely building it on prayer, on faith, trusting the Lord. So much so that instead of picking the wife himself, he's sending his servant to discover God's provision of a bride. That's trusting God, isn't it? That he's not even going to look for her. He just knows God's going to do it. Let's look at the scripture to take a read. Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came?" And Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'Your offspring will have give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman's not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of this city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink. And who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you've appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. So I would say to you, point number one, prayer should be a prerequisite to any decision. This servant is charged with a mighty big responsibility. I want you to go and discover the wife for my son. Big deal, big choice, a lot of responsibility. And so the servant knows the only way to get this done right is through prayer. He knew to ask God for the help. You show her to me. You show which one of these women that will come to draw water should be the wife of my master's son. You see, we need to be conscious of the fact that before any decision is made, we should pray about it. Think about it this morning. Your wife, your marriage, your home is probably the second most important decision you will ever make, ranking number two only to your decision about God, about having Christ in your life. That's number one, certainly. But after that, who we're going to spend our life with is a big deal. And we should bathe it in prayer. We should take it to the Lord. We need to trust Him for who He has for us. And so the scripture reminds us in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The words that jumped out to me were, but in every situation, everything. I used to tell my youth groups when I was youth pastor, God will tell you which shoe to put on first if you ask Him. That's how involved He wants to be. He's got an answer. He's got a plan. He's way down the road in our life. He knows where He wants us to go. He knows how He wants us to get there. And the only way for us to know is prayer. I need to spend time in prayer in order to get myself on God's page. You see, point A, Abraham's instructions demonstrate how his faith had grown. His faith had grown from just being willing to leave home and head out to where he didn't even know, to eventually being willing to sacrifice his son. And now he's reached a place in his faith where he's trusting God for his son's wife and even sends a servant to handle it. You see, our Father knows, Matthew 6 reminds us, that our Father knows what you need before you ask him. Abraham knew that God had a wife in mind, and he just needed someone to find her. He didn't need to conduct a bunch of interviews. He didn't have to go with a pro and con list and measure. He didn't have to go all Love Island or Golden Bachelor. How dingy are we that we think those shows work? Really? There's no way. No, what works is for God to provide, for God to lead, for God to give. That's what works. And Abraham knew that. And so his faith has grown to this place. And so his servant begins with prayer. But I want you to notice a couple of things about prayer. Prayer is not manipulating God. It's seeking God. You see, I feel like a lot of times in our prayer is, God bless a situation, a circumstance, a relationship. We're asking God to bless something that we created, when what we should be asking God to do is show us his will. Our effort shouldn't be to change God's mind, talk him into something, wanting him to be sure and give us what we want. No, our prayer should be coming to commune with God and get on the same page as him. What are we to do in this circumstance? Where are we to go in this situation? That's why pastor's calling our church to this more conscious season of prayer. Why? Because God has so blessed Hope. The visions that we've been following have almost been completed. It's time to go. Time to see what else we got. Well, we know better. I think this staff is one of the best I've ever worked with. But we're not that smart. We're good looking, but we're not that smart. And so God has got to lead us. He's got to direct us. And for that, we're calling on the church to come walk with us. I hope you'll really make an effort to be here Friday night for our night of worship, because it could be a beautiful time of coming together and knowing where the Lord would have us go. It's never about manipulating, it's about seeking. And a lack of prayer leads to depending on ourselves. Point C. When we leave prayer out of our life, we're left to depending on ourselves. And I'm pretty sure the scripture's clear about that when it says in Proverbs 3, do not. There's no stutter there. There's no almost. There is a do not. Lean to your own understanding. Right. We need to be in prayer, not depending on ourselves. Abraham wasn't depending on himself. He was completely depending on the Lord. He was the oldest one in the house, but he was not depending on himself. He was depending on what God had. When our daughter, Amy, was in high school, she was distraught one day after school. Now, I would tell you I knew that because she was crying, but that doesn't really tell you anything about a teenage girl, because they can cry over anything. And so, being the loving, doting, never wrong dad that I was, I waded in and said, "What's up? Why are we crying?" I wasn't quite prepared for what I heard. What she said was, "I don't have a date for the Christmas dance." Now, the sarcastic dad in me wanted to break out the little violin. But I knew this was not the time or the place. So I did what any other smart dad would do. I told her mom, "Amy's not happy. She doesn't have a date for the dance." And the dance was about 3 weeks out. So we talked about it for a little bit, and I said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray that God gets you a date for the dance." Now, some of you may be thinking, "Ooh, that's putting God under a lot of pressure." Well, yeah, but if you saw Amy, she's a cute kid. The odds weren't that bad. She wasn't going to get a date. But she had not really had a boyfriend up to this point in her life, so who was going to ask her to the dance? So we did. We prayed as a family. "Lord, we're trusting you. Give Amy a date. This is important to her." So week one goes by, nothing. Week two goes by, nothing. Dad's sweating bullets. "Lord, I need you to show up on this one." And then the day came, she hit the front door, almost taking it off the hinges, doing a jig, waving her hands. She got asked to the dance by a guy she was pretty impressed with. So we got a double blessing. It wasn't like Nerdville asked her to go. She got a good date. She was happy. And I reminded her that what she really got was an answer to prayer. And we've never let her forget that that was an answer to prayer. And I am happy to report to you, I am very proud to call, as Judy is, to call that young man our son-in-law today. When God answers a prayer, He answers a prayer. And when I pray, we get things done. Just want you to know. No, God came through. And through the years, we've watched Steve become a believer. We've watched his parents become believers. His aunt become a believer. We have watched dominoes fall in his family because of that one prayer. Abraham knew what dominoes were going to fall. He knew that an entire nation, as numbered as the sand, was depending upon his daughter-in-law. And he trusted God with that call. You see, Abraham's servant, letter number two, answered prayer began with an observation. Here's how he knew that God was moving. By observing. And the very first five words tells us the story in this next passage. Verse 15. Before he had finished praying. The servant is praying, "Lord, I'm going to need this girl to give me a drink of water and offer voluntarily to give water to my camels," who he very wisely had sit down right by the well. So the camels are already there. And so before he's done praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother, Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. And she went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please, give me a little water for your jar, from your jar." You see, we need to be watchful for God's answers. We need to be looking for God to answer our prayer. We can't just throw them up to God's throne and forget about them. We could miss the answer. It could go right by us. When we lay something before the Lord, we need to watch and continue to pray and wait. We need to be looking for his answer, because God supplies all our needs. He supplies them all. So we can just watch for them. The servant sat down at the well, knowing he had asked for, the prayer was, "She gives me a drink when I ask, and she waters my camels." So he knew what he was looking for. He had asked God specifically. Sometimes we may not know what looked for because we were too afraid to ask God specifically, because we're not really sure he can do that. Well, I got news for you, gang. He can do it. He can do it. He will do it. You can be as specific as you want to, and he will provide the answer. And he did, because he supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We believe it. We trust in it. We're looking for it, waiting for it, as this servant was waiting. Because then comes number three. The servant then receives confirmation. He gets God's truth. He gets God's direction. We can say God led us, God spoke to us, God nudged us. We can use a lot of terminology, but what we're really saying is God gave us an answer. Yeah, our Amy got a date for the dance and now turns into a godly husband, but what she got was an answer to a prayer. It starts with God. He provides. He supplies. So he asked her, "Can you give me a little water?" And we pick up the action in the rest of, in verse 18. She said, "Drink, my Lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beka and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" And she answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor." And she added, We have plenty of straw and fodder as well as room for you to spend the night. You see, God can gift us with a discernment. The secret is in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, if we get rid of our worldly thinking and we are transformed by the renewal of our mind into God's thinking, we'll recognize his answers. We'll see them when we leave the world behind and get on the page with God. When we're willing to give up what we think is right and what we want and just begin to look for his answer, we'll get it. God's not in the game plan stage. He's not hiding his will behind his back and making us guess. But he does want us to ask. He wants us to be on his page. And this servant got his answer. You see, under point A, sometimes the Holy Spirit prays for us. In fact, Christ is constantly interceding for us at the throne. And the Holy Spirit will pray. Sometimes we have to admit we don't even know what to pray. We don't know what to ask for. We just know we need God's help. And that's when the Spirit will begin to pray for you, because God provides for us even when we don't pray. There's lots of things we may leave unasked, but God provides anyway. In Romans 8, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel awfully good. That when I'm stumbling around, can't figure out the words, I'm so bum-fuzzled, I don't even know what to ask, I know the Holy Spirit's doing it for me. The Holy Spirit is, in his wisdom, asking God for me. And so even if I'm not clear, I still have something to look for, because I'm still going to get God's answers. God's going to speak. God's going to show me. Confirmation's coming. And when I get that, there's only one thing left to do. We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate. Celebration should always follow answered prayer. When God graces us with his answer, don't you think we ought to celebrate that? We ought to thank him? That's what this servant did right away. The man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." Hebrews tells us, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." Now, let me talk to dads and grandpas for just a minute. God has set us to establish an environment in our homes. He has challenged us to be the spiritual head. to be the tent, the umbrella. Picture what you will. But it's my job to provide an environment where my wife and my kids and my grandkids and the great-grandkid, we have one. I agree with Judy. We're not old enough for that. But we have one. And it's our job to point them to Christ. It's my job to establish this environment where everyone under our family can grow in the Lord. I am not responsible. Judy and I talked about this years ago. I'm not responsible for her spiritual growth. I don't set her down daily and tell her things that God wants her to do. That's her job to me. But I don't tell her. But what I do make sure is that she is free to discover that without criticism from me, without being challenged by me, without my pounding on her to make sure that what she wants to do is what I want to do. I want to create an atmosphere in our home that is God-centered. And we try to teach the kids that. And I think, dads, you need to let your children see you pray. They need to hear you pray. They need to see you celebrate God's answer. You need to tell them when God comes through. Let them celebrate in it. Now, one last point. We recognize God's answers through a posture of humility. Psalm says, He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. We have to be humble before God to receive from Him. You see, dangerous thinking is that I know more than God. I know what's best in this situation, and I'm just asking God to do it. No, 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 no. No, I'm not telling God the answer. I'm asking God for the answer. I'm looking for the answer. And we need to make a discipline of that. And when we get the answer, we need to celebrate it. Let's look at our memory verse, Psalm 29:2. Let's say it together. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. May we seek God in prayer. May we seek His wisdom and provision as we go before Him in prayer. And may we remember to celebrate when He delivers for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth of this story, for the lesson we learn about the importance of prayer and how You are to be celebrated for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness in communing with us in every way as we seek You out. Continue to bless this church, these people. Continue to give us the answers we seek in Jesus' name. And let's continue our prayer in the way we were taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks, Steve. We have an opportunity to continue our worship, and one of the things that Apostle Paul talks about is about in our worship that we would pray about our worship and pray about our offerings, that we can come to the Lord as a joyful giver, that we have set this aside, not out of obligation or coercion or because you feel pressured to, although I will look at you funny. No, I'm just kidding. But just out of joy. Part of celebration. That God, we're thankful for what you've given us, and we want to honor and worship you. So in your worship folder is an offering envelope, also a QR code, or you use the text to give. Also in your worship folder, I want to draw your attention back to that connection card you can share on the backside what God is you're celebrating today, if you've been encouraged or in the faith, or if you haven't been baptized, or if you've never made that step of faith, man, let's talk. We'd love to pray with you and meet with you afterwards. Also, just a couple things coming up. One, as Steve hinted to, we're in a night of prayer coming up this Friday. And why this is so important is because we had a group of people that have been praying, and we put together a ministry plan, and we've been praying as we implemented this ministry plan and celebrate, and we've been sharing those celebrations like God's been knocking the ministry plan out. And so we're at a point now where we have part of it undone and other parts that now are done, and what is next? And one of the things I learned here a long time ago when I started to plant this church and got frustrated and sat in my office and looked at the whiteboard and said, God, what's going to happen next? And he just said, don't plant the church. It's in your head. Plant the church and put it in your heart. And the only way to get the church that God wants in our hearts is to pray. In other words, don't do what you know you can do or what you've experienced. God is alive and wants to do something new in you, but you can't get it till you sit with them. So part of coming is just us humbling ourselves and say, we don't know. We're going to lean on you, God, not our ways, not the books. We're not looking at the church next door. We're not looking at the church that we were at before that had something great happening. We know you want to do something great here, and it might look different, so we want to lean into that. So we have a fellowship time and then a prayer time. And the time will be just singing, worship, with some prayer, with some scripture reading, some reflection time, to sit at the feet of Jesus, empty ourselves, and have prayer before our leadership gathers the next day to do a plan. And I don't want to do our plan, I want God's plan. And maybe in our prayer time, he might share something with you that we need to hear. Who knows? Until we're there. So be there. Also, I really need some help in two areas of ministry, and I'm asking for you to come part and be a blessing in there in helping with the food for Friday night, and also because our staff is praying, our staff is working on stuff so we can make it the best prayer time we can to gather and use our time wisely. And we have intercessors that will be coming. We're going to pray for everybody. But so that's our focus. We really need help. Come around and help with food. And if this gets to be bad, either we have no food or I just say we call pizza and it's just a free-for-all like a youth event. Because that's all I did. Also, we need help with food for the Family Fall Fest. You see that event coming up in 2 weeks. That's a great event for families. So if you want to partner with that, hey, go to early service at the beach and then come help out, hang out with families. This is a great time for family faith formation. God has really blessed us with great families. See the kids up here, and we really need to embrace. I encourage us to embrace the love on them and pass on the passion with them. Come join that. Also, you see the women's event and youth. So, get part of it. Be great. So with that, we'll continue our worship as we do. We bring our offerings and connection cards forward, and we just put them into the plates up front as part of our worship.
To my